Welcome to episode 39 of the Once Upon a Captain Swan podcast. I'm not Sarah, I am Justine, and today we're going to have a really fun special episode on the Captain Swan Big Bang that's been going on for the past couple months, but now they're releasing all their things, their fics, and their art, and it's all beautiful. And so joining us today, we have our regular members, Lindsay, and our usual host, Sarah.
Hey, taking a backseat today. This is Justine's like area of expertise, so
yeah, letting her have the big bang queen.
I was just such like a guys, we need to do this episode. I'm so hyped for it.
Yeah,
it's gonna be so much fun.
I'm super hyped. So we have Fira from Fira Loves Loki. We have Claire from Matt Statins. I think that's how you pronounce her URL.
She can clarify for us.
Yeah, she can clarify. We have Shay, who's just another wannabe classic. We have Kendra, who is Clockadile, who is an artist. And joining us a little bit later is going to be Jenna, a.k.a. Fairy Tales and Time Travel. And guys, it's going to be so lit.
I'm so excited. Let's get these ladies on.
Let's get them on.
Hello,
ladies.
Hello.
Hello. Oh, hello.
We got things going.
Woohoo! Yay! Welcome, guys. You all right?
Good. You all right?
Yeah.
Is this Claire talking right now?
Yeah. Hi. Hello.
Hi. Yeah,
she's speaking my language. Hello.
I am.
Lovely.
This is just going to be accent central today.
Love it.
Okay, so what is the Big Bang? It's a lot of things.
Yeah, so the Big Bang is essentially, it's not unique to our fandom. It's a project where you write a 50,000 word story, and then you are sort of hooked up with artists in the fandom who read your story and create artwork for it. And so we did this last year. A couple of different people in the CS fandom opted to start it, and they did a big bang and a little bang. And the little bang was, and Claire can speak more about this because she actually did it. The word count requirement was much, much lower for the little bang than it was for the big bang. And I wasn't around during signups or anything like that last year, so I have no idea really how that worked. And this year, the mods, we just looked at the project and we said, this is too hard to manage. We're just going to do the big bang, the 50K word count. And yeah, so it's kind of a slog at times for authors, at least from what I observed this year, you know, because you have to just keep writing and you can't post anything and get feedback. You just have to keep writing and meeting the word count and stuff like that. So it can be a huge challenge if you're not used to actually writing and finishing a story before you post at all. Mm-hmm. And so then we also have artists who become part of the community that we have. We have like a Discord server for everyone. And it's a way for artists and authors to connect with each other and get to know each other a little bit better. And if you are sort of struggling to make a name for yourself in the fandom, we are promoting your work. So a lot of people joined because they wanted to have their work promoted a bit. And also it's a great way if you're trying to finish a story or you have this idea that you just want to get done to motivate you to finish. And for artists, it's also a great way if you are kind of out of ideas, it gives you something to work on. So that's basically the project. And obviously our participants can speak more what it was about for them personally over the past several months.
Mm-hmm. Well, I signed up for it last year, but I had to drop out because I was finishing up school and it just became a lot on my plate with a really big research paper that I had to do for school, and then also a fic, and I was like, I gotta just focus on school right now.
Oh yeah.
But maybe next year. Maybe yeah, next year I'll.
We've had a few people ask if we're going to be doing it again next year because of, you know, the changes with the show with season 7. It's kind of, this isn't a Once Upon a Time Big Bang. This is a Captain Swan Big Bang. So people have been asking. We haven't really decided yet, honestly. We only just started posting. And I think that it's going to depend entirely on sort of fandom demand for it. If we have people who want to read Big Bang stories and look at Big Bang artwork but don't want to participate, then I mean, we just then, need people who are eager to participate. We started with almost 50 authors back at the end of February. Yeah, it was pretty intense. We had a couple of people drop out because they actually signed up without a story idea because they didn't want to miss the deadline. And then we gave people a week to submit their plan. And at the end of the week, the people who were planning on doing that were just kind of like, oh, never mind, which is fine. I mean, the idea behind it is it's a fandom project for fun. So we're not sitting here like, you know, teachers or something being like, what do you mean you're not going to do it? It's not a problem. So we had a lot of people, and people drop out for a variety of reasons. There are some people who, like me, have been dealing with chronic illness and didn't realize just how bad it was going to get. People who just lost all motivation to work on their story. School was like a number one reason. Just all sorts of reasons that people needed to back out. And some people have finished their stories and are posting anyway outside of the Big Bang, which is great. We encourage people to keep going. And so we're down to, I mean, we have 19 authors and 19 stories. That's like a lot.
It is, yeah. It's great.
Yeah. So we still have
a ton of people. I'm super hyped for all of them.
It's overwhelming, honestly. We were worried. We're like, oh, what if we don't have enough people participating by the end? And now we're like, oh my God, there are so many stories. We cannot keep up. It's like the best kind of problem. So the idea right now, I think, is that if we don't have a lot of demand to participate, if we end up with, you know, start out with 50 and end up with about 20, if we're only starting with, you know, maybe 10 or 15 participants, that's probably not going to be enough, because we do know that the majority of people will drop before we finish. And artists have also dropped, although not as many, because it's not as much of a commitment for most artists. So that we were really concerned last year. We didn't have enough artists last year. And so we had a bunch of artists doubled up on fic, like, one artist doing two stories. We had a lot of people doing that. And then we also had to, at the last minute, find additional artists. So we were really worried about that happening. And we ended up with way more artists than authors. And very few artists dropped out. And I mean, if you can even just look at the countdown that we did, we have, I think, 28 artists left, which is a lot, and 19 authors. Yeah. So we have that. That's been great. And I think a lot of artists are hyped to participate again. So it's really just author demand, I guess.
Yay. All right. So I have a question for Shay and for Claire. So what would you guys say was the biggest challenge of the Big Bang?
Well, for me, I'm the type of person who thrives on feedback. Every story, major multi-chapter I've written, which admittedly has been one, you know, was because people were yelling at me to do it and telling me what they liked or disliked. Whereas for this one, I was really only going off of my beta and my artist, who were absolutely wonderful people and give great feedback, but at the end of the day, it's just three people and you're writing this big behemoth of a story and trying to figure out, okay, how do I make this work and how do I keep the motivation going? Because I'm sure Claire can agree, there are just times where you end up hating the story because, like, you don't know if it's good or not, you don't know where you are or how much you care anymore. So that lack of feedback, which can generally, you know, kick you into gear again, just isn't there.
I mean, yeah, Shade said it basically how it is. You know, you've got your beaters giving you feedback, and mine are brilliant. I have to say that, obviously. And
oh, stop.
And that's great. And it is wonderful, and they give you great feedback, but there's obviously a sort of a critical side to beta reading, for example, that you don't often get with feedback. So it's, okay, this is great, but you need to do this, which is fantastic. But sometimes you get to the point where you're just like, I don't want to do it anymore. I'm out, you know, I'm done. I have lost every ounce of enthusiasm. I don't care about these people. Killian, who? I don't care anymore. I'm over it, you know.
Who are Killian? Oh, no.
No, that's why I kill him. Oh, whoops, spoiler. Anyway. I joke.
Heathens great. You all should read it.
Thank you, darling.
Well, I'm excited for it.
Definitely the lack of feedback, the level of work involved. I mean, I've never written a fic as long as Heathens, as my Big Bang fic, before. So it's definitely a challenge from the off. You know, for me, I've never written anything really with this big number in mind that I have to hit. That was quite a challenge for me personally, was that even though I might think to myself, okay, the story's done, I've written the story, we're done, but I couldn't be done because I had 10k more to write. So I had to sort of really convince myself to keep going, you know, with the help of obviously Farah and Katie. But it was a challenge. With the Little Bang last year, that was a minimum of 15k,
mm-hmm.
which is like a long one shot. You know what I mean? That wasn't even I slammed through that halfway through it, without even thinking about it. But yeah, this was for me. Yeah, definitely the feedback and the aiming for word count were the hardest parts for me personally.
And sometimes the check-ins would be really daunting too, because as they were saying, the word count was so much, and even though it was broken up into 12,000 word chunks, sometimes you're like, how do I get 12,000 words within this period? Because like different check-in times, like crazy stuff would be going on in everyone's lives, and you're like, how do I have time to do this?
You just become Ron Swanson, and you're like, I'm just gonna type every word I know.
That's literally it. And I think I can't remember, was it you, Shay, who was saying the other day on the server about, we're wondering if people will be able to spot the points in the story at which we just went, do you know what, I'm just gonna just blah. I don't even blah.
Oh,
I'll
yeah.
Look out for those parts.
Because we know where they are.
Yeah, I know where I said about this. Oops, sorry.
No, we always say whatever you want.
Okay. Well, I know where I was like, I just can't write this scene anymore. But will other people? I don't know.
Well, I was beta reading Claire's fic, and for the most part, I really couldn't tell where you'd kind of given up or bulked up sections. Like, I could guess if you really, really, like, pressured me to, I would guess. But for the most part, it really did seem like everything was flowing, and, you know, longer scenes that could have been made shorter still felt like the length of the scene was appropriate for character development and stuff like that. So I don't know how much people will really be able to tell. But at the same time, so I joined last year's Big Bang after the third check-in, because I was on one of my multiple hiatuses when the project started and saw at the end, like, I came home from a bunch of vacations and saw, like, oh, what's this? I contacted the people in charge, was like, hi, so I just saw this, I would have joined if I had known back in, you know, March or whatever. I'm already at the minimum word count for this check-in. Can I just join? And they're like, yeah, sure. Why not? Go for it. So, and that was Falling Slowly, which I know a lot of people really enjoyed.
Oh, yes.
And let me just
definitely wrecked that on the show.
Please let me tell you the number of times when I was working on that story, because it actually was in the works for a couple of years, because I would work on it during hiatuses, but you know how it is with writing. You don't always feel motivated. So mm-hmm. be like, I wouldn't actually get very much done during a hiatus, but I wouldn't work on it normally because I needed to know what was happening in canon. And when Adam and Eddie killed off Robin, I actually was like, okay, I'm done. I'm going to throw this fic out. Like, I don't enjoy it anymore. I hate it. No one's going to like it. I had a whole bunch of people beta read it for me simply because I was just sure everyone was going to hate it. Like, no one's going to like the age difference. No one's going to like the twist. I don't even like it anymore. Like, by the time, because I don't post fic until it's done, like multi-chapter stuff, I finish it first. Mm-hmm. And so I'm used to that now. But at the same time, like, I really, like, by the time you're finished with it, you hate it. Because you haven't had feedback telling you it's good. You know, you just have beta readers or whoever you can sort of rope in and torture. but, oh, my God, I hated it so much. I was ready. I really was ready to throw it out. And that horrifies a lot of people. But I'm like, if you've done this before where you've worked on a story without feedback, you just absolutely hate it. And it really does help. And again, Shay and Claire can tell me if, like, because we just started posting. And I know, Claire, you've only done two updates, and one of them was your prologue. Mm-hmm. And Shay, I know you just posted your fourth chapter today. So we're still at the beginning. But by the time, like, I was actually posting and getting feedback from the fandom, it does help a lot to, like, make you hate your story less. Like, I'm a little more fond now of Falling Slowly. Than I was. I cannot overstate how much I hated it and was really ready to throw it out. Like, and it's Google Docs too, so it wouldn't have even been satisfying to throw it out. No. Like, because you don't have like a hard copy, just burn it.
Print it out and burn it.
It's been
a computer. The single chapter, the Big Bang fic, I wanted to just print it out and set fire to it just for the satisfaction.
Oh, yeah.
Sitting the smoke.
I like. Hate this so much. Why did I do this? But as you said, it's working out. Now that I'm getting like feedback on it, I feel happy and pleased and sometimes shocked by reactions to the story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
we just shower her a lot, I think.
Honestly, like if you guys ever need like a hype man for your fic while you're writing, like I'm your girl, because I will be like, girl, yes, keep doing whatever it is you're doing.
This whole podcast is we're like, do the thing, right?
Oh, it's great.
There should be like a test group. You know how they do like test screenings for movies?
Yeah.
There should be like a tiny test group where you can test out your fix and get reactions.
The CS test group. Yeah, I like that.
That's why I end up with, you'll notice like on like a bunch of my latest fix, like the Sweet Home Alabama one and Falling Slowly, I thank like 50 people because I would just keep sending it to people, be like, I need you to tell me if this is any good. They're like, oh, do you want me to check for typos? No, I don't care about typos. Just tell me if this is any good.
Yeah.
Tell me if there is like anything here that is of value.
Right.
Yeah, it is literally like, I remember Finn was saying to me, so what are you concerned about? I was like, there's nothing here I'm not concerned about. just does it make sense at all? You know?
Oh. Yeah.
It was good. I liked it. I read it like 3 times, so.
That's probably good.
Frankly, your first two chapters have been gutted. So, you know, you're doing something right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know I definitely can sometimes reach a point when I'm writing, and I wasn't even part of the Big Bang this year, so I had, like, no looming deadline to me or a word count to me, but I would just get to a point where I'm like, this is shit. Like, what am I doing? Why do I Why do I pretend like I'm good at writing?
Justine, send it my way. As I said, I'll cheer for you, you know.
Lindsay, you have opened a can of worms. I'm just going to send you like a Google Doc link and be like, is this good?
That's fine. No, that's fine. You know, I'm always on my fix. I'm always going. Just send it me. I'm on it.
All right. So we have another question for Claire and Shay. Were you guys planning on doing the Big Bang before it was announced? And if so, did you have an outline or a plan already kind of drawn out, or were you just kind of letting it flow?
I don't know that I was planning to do it so much as it just came up and I was like, yeah, why not? This will be fun. because I like to torture myself. But I did have a plan anyway. Obviously, my fic is a sequel to a fic that I wrote last year. So I knew that I wanted to write it. I knew it was going to be long. I knew I would probably give up halfway through unless I had something to motivate me. Deadlines are motivating, you know, someone to shout at me now and then. So when it came up, I was like, do you know what? It's now or never. I might as well. You know, I'm going to go for it. I'm never going to write this fic off my own back because I don't have the self-motivation to manage it. So I'm going to go for it. And because I'm really contrary, I actually managed to do it. So that was quite exciting.
Yay!
But yeah, I went into it with the fic first. Like the fic was always, all last year when I was writing the first part of it, I knew there was going to be a second part. It was just a matter of making myself write it. Mm-hmm. So that's where the Big Bang came in for me. So it was great.
For me, I was kind of peer pressured into doing the Big Bang. So that's how I got into it. I didn't really have a story idea at first, and I didn't want to commit until I had something. So it was a lot of hemming and hawing on my part. And it wasn't until I was having a conversation with someone outside of the CS fandom trying to explain, you know, what the Lieutenant Duffling probe was, when I thought, huh, what is something that I could do different with this? Because with a lot of my fics, what I approach like any story with is, all right, how can I add a twist on and make my mark on what the trope is? Because there are so many absolutely wonderful, amazing fics out there and various tropes. So, and, you know, I don't want to be a repeat of those because, like, they're so good and amazing and everything. And I want to make my own mark. And for me, that was realizing, all right, there are all these awesome stories with them eloping, but what happens after? And because I'm like a political intrigue, I like politics and stuff, clearly. I'm like, all right, how will the political aspect be if there's like surprise elopement? What about the interpersonal drama and that sort of thing? And it slowly started building from there. And then eventually I don't really do outlines. They stress me out a lot of times, but I did write a lot of like basic beats that mm-hmm. I wanted to hit. So like, I want this with her parents. I want this with Liam. I want this with so-and-so-and-so. And so I stuck to some of those beats, and other times I completely veered away from them while writing. But that was essentially my approach to doing it. And ultimately, I stuck with it because I wanted to prove to myself if I could. So even if I got through periods where I absolutely hated the story, I'm like, all right, you have to do this. Shay, you said you were going to do it. You don't want to like just up and quit. And when you get through it, you'll be happy. And there was a feeling of relief when I turned in the final draft. It's like a huge weight was lifted.
It's kind of like finishing like a big paper for school, I imagine. Where you're just kind of like,
so. It felt like handing in my thesis. That's what it felt like. Sending that email, I was like, yes, I've succeeded.
Now that you say it,
and the best part,
CFPB after my name.
The best part is you're not graded. Like, no one's going to be like, yeah. I give this fic an 85 out of 100.
And look, like, the high score are you, aren't you? Oof.
I planned my wedding was 2 weeks before my first draft of my thesis was due. I don't actually recommend that for grad school, just so you know.
No, that's
yeah. Thanks, Shay. So also for Shay, Claire, and for Fira. Sorry, I totally blanked on your name for a second.
Right. Too many people. It's going to happen at some point.
It's Mothy nowadays anyway, so it's fine.
I was going to say, you mean Mothy, right?
But would you describe your writing style? Would you say that you're more of a gardener or more of an architect? And for our listeners who might not know what that means.
Or
the artist, or just anyone in this podcast who might not. So the gardener-architect dynamic is, I don't know if George R.R. Martin created that whole concept or if he just kind of brought it to public knowledge. But so if you're an architect, you're a writer who kind of plans out everything, like, you know, everything about your characters, you know, like the layout of their house, practically, like you have everything you need kind of already out on paper before you start writing the actual story. And then a gardener has like maybe like some story beats, like some character traits that are like seeds that they're going to plant in a garden and just see kind of what pops up. So it's like a very structured outline versus like just words on a page where you're like, this sounds cool, let's do that.
Yeah, I'm the gardener. Definitely the gardener.
Yeah.
I have no... Like, people say, what's your process? I don't have a process. Like, I'll come up with an idea, or more often, I'll demand somebody prompts me something, and then I'll just sort of see where it goes. I can't... People who, like... have it all planned out, they whirlwind it, I think they're amazing. I couldn't stick to that. I would never finish anything. I couldn't do it. I'd feel too constrained within it, you know? So I'm definitely one who just sort of will write something and let the whole thing go off in a completely different direction, which is why if you ever ask me for a prompt, you probably won't get what you asked for. Just as a warning.
It's okay. It means we get something surprising and new that maybe we would have thought
the
of.
Opposite.
I'm also 100% definitely a gardener. I have come up with these ideas, but I can never stick to original outline, and I've been that way for a while. I mean, Roses in December started out as a one-shot that developed slowly into a 7-part multi-chapter. And the same with this one. I had a basic idea of how I wanted to start it and how I wanted to end it. But within that, there was just like no direct path. I'd be writing, I'm like, oh, I definitely need, I should probably add a scene here to help explain this thing. And, oh, it feels like Killian wants to do this. And I guess I kind of have to let him do that. And that sort of thing. Whereas, yeah, I do not do well with structure when it comes to writing. So even the structure of the Big Bang itself was a bit of a new challenge to me to overcome.
So I guess this is where I say that I have a 10,000 word outline for the story I'm currently working on. So I would probably solidly fall into the architect category. I didn't used to outline fic extensively until I did the giveaway fics because I wanted to make sure that the people who won fics were getting what they wanted. So what I did for those stories was I created an outline. Like they gave me their idea. And most of the people who won giveaway fics just kind of gave me a bare bones prompt, which was fine. And I worked with that and sent them the outline and said, here's the plan for the fic. Does that work for you? And so I then worked from the outline and then wrote the story. And the funny thing is that even though I didn't used to write outlines for stories, I always, for multi-chapters, would have like at least a document where I jot down plans, and I would have an extensive plan in my head for how I wanted things to go. So the 10,000 word outline, I didn't actually plan for it to be that long, and I didn't start writing the story with an outline, but the plot was getting really convoluted, so I figured, okay, I need to write this all down. I'm very much a plotter. And like, if anyone ever is struggling, like they need something in particular to happen in their story and they need a reason for it, I'm always happy to figure it out, basically. So definitely outlining and planning and plotting and all that kind of stuff is my cup of tea. I will say it does kind of drain you of motivation for a little bit, because you go like, I just wrote a huge outline. Why can't it just magically expand itself into the story? Which is what I say to myself every time I look at my current story, which it's just been like, I'm like almost 50,000 words in. And for those of you who've like actually checked the word counts on my stories, I have not written anything longer than I think 60K. And I'm a big proponent of the story should not be any longer than it needs to be. I cut a lot of stuff, including scenes that I really liked, just because if it doesn't really serve the story, I'll go, okay, just cut it. And so the fact that I'm like a third of the way through my outline, maybe, and at 50,000 words has me kind of, I wouldn't say in tears, but definitely much more vexed with my story than I normally would be at this point.
Fira, could I have access to those deleted scenes? Because I would love to read them. Thanks, bye. So, Kendra, you were an artist for the Big Bang.
Yep.
So what was that like, kind of collaborating and basing an art piece off of a unpublished work?
It was a lot of fun. So this is my second year doing this now, and I do really enjoy just illustrating scenes and stuff and giving stuff back to the writers who I've read so much from. And there's always sort of scenes that you read and they stand out to you and you can kind of see it perfectly in your mind. It was nice to sort of really just have the chance to dedicate time to maybe trying to bring certain scenes to life that you really liked or certain character moments. So, but no, this year I was working on Sarah's fic, Life in a Hole 27. And
which
so,
is so good.
Yes, it was so much fun. I went into that fic with, like, the little description that you all got in the blurb and going, oh, hey, yeah, it's this sort of fic. And then I go in and there's just so much more to it. And I want to say stuff, but it's spoilers.
I still really wish that she had named it what you named it. We're still trying to figure out, like, this. So this is the second year of the Big Bang, but this is the first year that this group of people has been in charge of it. And so we're kind of learning as we go, which I know has caused some frustration for participants and for us. Like, we're trying to figure out the best way to run things and for things to be fair and all that. And so we wanted to do anonymous story selection because we didn't want lesser known authors to get sort of left behind with all the artists glomming on to more popular writers. So everything was anonymous. And it didn't occur to us that because most of our authors hadn't named their stories, so we didn't have names for any of these stories, that it was going to be a problem for artists. So artists got a list of, oh God, it was like 30 stories, I think, when we did story selection. And so it was like, here's the summary, the number of, like, this is story number 10. Here's the summary. Here are the pairings besides Captain Swan. Here's the rating. Here's some content warnings. Here's anything else we want you to know. And as Kendra rightly pointed out, it was really difficult to keep track of all of these stories when artists were ranking them to send to us saying, here are the ones I want to do the most. And so Kendra actually came up with a bunch of sort of like on the fly names for stuff. And the name for this particular story, so this is Life in a Hole 27 story, Wait for the Moonrise. And you just named it Cat in all caps with an exclamation point. So I was talking with Sarah when she was trying to name it, like give it a title. Cause as we discussed several times in the server, titling fix is a huge pain in the ass.
The worst.
It is the worst. And so, but it's just like, Sarah, just name it Cat. Just name it Cat.
It's funny. Just do it.
And she correctly pointed out that wasn't maybe the best name for the story. And what she settled on, I think, was really, really good. Although she, too bad she's not here. She has a good story about my reaction to that title. But yeah, so I think that, I agree with Kendra, having sort of been reading that story while she was writing it, the summary, it's not a bad summary at all. I think it's a great summary for the story.
No, it's exactly the right thing to sort of bring you in, and then you get all this other stuff.
But it's so much more than that. And so when you picked that, I was like, oh, she's going to love this, because I knew what the story really was. I was like, oh, she's going to die. She's going to be so excited.
So I have sort of a spontaneous question about the art with the fix. Are there certain rules set up between the artist and the author as to a certain number of art pieces that are going to accompany the story? Is it like one per chapter, or is there any type of is that sort of between the author and the artist themselves, or is there sort of a general rule for the overall Big Bang?
We have a minimum amount of artwork. Just like we have a minimum word count for authors, and we upped the minimum from last year because we felt like we ditched the little bang. And so we felt like if our authors are slogging for like, God, I feel like it's like 6 months for some people, like 5 or 6 months to write this behemoth.
I can tell you how many weeks it is.
Oh my God. I know. That's true. I forgot.
Oh, yeah. Like,
if we're asking our authors to put in this much effort, some artists, it does take a considerable amount of time. My artist last year, Swank Cat, I actually got to watch her do some art live at one point because we were Skyping and she showed me her screen while she was working on a piece. Some artists, it takes a very long time, but some artists, it doesn't. We have people making image sets, instead of sort of more traditional paintings, or we had one person make a video, which takes time. But even so, we thought that it was more appropriate to sort of up the minimum for artists. And that way, if we have artists who are making something for every chapter for one particular story, another author who's not getting artwork for every single chapter doesn't feel like they got ripped off because they only got one piece. So we did have a minimum, but we told artists and authors, this is the minimum. You can do more and it's up to you. Like if you want to make something for every chapter, go for it. If you just want to make the minimum, no one's going to be at your throat to make more. Like, we just want to make sure that everyone gets, you know, a few pieces of art for all of their, you know, 50,000 words. But some people have definitely, I think, gone above and beyond, which, I mean, more artwork for us to enjoy. So I'm not complaining.
Yeah. I'm so not complaining about more Captain Swan fan art based off of, like, amazing fix.
Kendra, I really like that you've have a different look for all your pieces that you've put out. Like the animated drawing, I just think is so cool. And the image with like Emma and the flowers is just absolutely stunning. I didn't even notice Killian in the background because I was too busy
Killian
drooling.
In that picture?
Yes, I was too busy drooling over the flowers.
little guy in the back.
Feeling his face from the sun.
I stayed for far too long. It's like, oh, hi, Killian. How's it going?
Where is he?
As someone who's seen the, so Kendra is good. You're here, so you can hear me compliment you. Kendra is awesome, and so she sent in her three because we had a minimum of three pieces for the kind of artwork she was doing, and then she said, "Oh, by the way, I'm going to be doing a little bit more, just so you know." So like that animation.
No one has seen that yet.
Yeah, which as soon as I saw it, I went to Google Hangouts and like immediately started bombarding Sarah with like, oh my God, oh my God, did you see that? Did you see that? She's like, yes, I did. I'm dead. but I've seen, we had all of the artists submit their artwork, like their final artwork, as part of the deadline, because we had trouble with that last year with artists just kind of falling off the radar. So we're like, we just need everything up front to make sure it's finished. And so I've seen the last, I would say, formal piece of artwork from Kendra, and I'm not going to spoil it, but there is a detail in it that I think a lot of people might miss that is awesome, that I did not miss, and was just like, again, excitedly talking to Sarah. Like, did you see that she put that in that piece? Like, I am so proud of myself for seeing it.
Actually, if it's the thing that I think, So I actually worked a fair bit with Sarah about just asking her about, okay, they're in a room. What does the room look like? What's in the room? What color are the walls?
Yeah.
What kind of windows do they have? Where are the windows? What is the layout of this place?
Did she send you? She sent you the apartment layout?
Yeah, I still have that open just off to the side because I keep checking back to it going, well, where's my light source? And would you be able to see this part of the apartment if I drew it from this angle? And that's been so helpful to have, actually. So.
And then, Fira, I have a question specifically for you. So what made you want to admin the Big Bang this year? Because you weren't an admin last year.
So...
Yes, you were.
Oh, gosh. Okay. So
she totally was.
Well, it's very, no. It's actually incredibly complicated. And I am going to try to give sort of the cleanest version of this I can. It's kind of a mess. So the Big Bang last year was run by a couple of people in the fandom who were going through a lot of personal stuff. One person in particular was like just starting college and was trying to exit fandom. And so I had joined late and kind of got the sense that they were overwhelmed. And so after we sent in final drafts, no one was hearing from them. And so I got in touch and they were like, yeah, we're totally overwhelmed. So I said, maybe I can help. And so they gave me access to, they gave me mod access to the account, and they gave me access to the email and stuff like that. And they ended up just being so totally overwhelmed that they needed to back out entirely. And so what ended up happening was I kind of last minute was taking over, which a lot of people who were participating didn't actually know. And so,
You were on top of things. If there hadn't been some other notes, I wouldn't have known that you weren't there from the beginning.
Well, that's what was weird about it, was that people thought that I had been running it because that was like, I was contacting people through my own account and, you know, trying to get an idea, like, when can you post? And then I would be in touch with people like, hey, are you going to be posting anytime soon? Because we didn't have such a complicated posting schedule last year. But again, like, I was super winging it. I didn't know what the original admins really wanted, honestly. And was just making it up as I went and trying my best. And so afterwards, I sent out a couple of exit surveys to see if authors and artists had enjoyed it enough to have it run again. And when enough people said yes, I got in touch with the original admin who had come back to Tumblr. And she gave me admin access, and I want to give a shout out actually to our moderator team. I knew I couldn't do it alone this year because it was just too much for one person. And so I ended up with an awesome moderator team. So there's Dread Pirate Emma, Sam Beth, Lady Sierra Miggles and Ice Cube Lord of the Rings 44. And Ice Cube actually was participant last year and this year. Last year she did a big bang and a little bang.
Jeez.
I know.
She's on it. Oh my God.
I know. And this year she's only, you know, we don't have the little bang, so she's only doing the big bang, but she's also moderating.
Girl.
So I know. She
multitasks.
Because she was a participant last year, she and I, like, she's been invaluable because, like, really so much of what happened this year was she and I would just be like, hey, remember when this was a problem last year? How are we going to fix it for this year? And so yeah, it's the mod team has been fantastic, and not just because we've been reading all of the fics so that we have captions for our reblogs. Because last year I was kind of drowning in everything and trying to keep up with all of the reblogs. And so I would just be like, here's the latest chapter of so-and-so's story. Give it a read and a share. Or look at this artwork for this story. Give it a like and a share. And rightfully, authors and artists who poured so much of their like hearts and souls into this work were disappointed in the lack of individualized promotion. So what we did this year was we actually have been reading all of the stories and writing captions for reblogs. So thanks to the mod team, not only for basically, I mean, keeping this whole project afloat for the past 6 months, but also that I did not have to read 19 stories on my own. And we split up all the stories by word count, actually, so that we all were reading about the same number of words as opposed to the same number of stories. One of our stories, mm-hmm. I think, is 250,000 words.
Oh, geez.
So, yeah. So we figured we don't want somebody having to read that and doing reblog captions and then also read like three more stories. So we really let's fix that. So the mod team has been fantastic, and it can be really challenging to moderate such a project where you have so many participants because, you know, we don't know if anything's wrong until somebody tells us. We're not going to constantly be poking people. It's too much work. It's too annoying for participants, like, to be like, every week get an email from us being like, so how's it going? Have you been talking with your author? Have you been sharing your story with your artist? Like, we didn't want to do that. And so it's been really challenging because then we find out later, like, hey, I haven't heard from my author in a month. It's like, okay, that's a problem. Let's fix it. Or, you know, my artist isn't sharing artwork with me. Okay, well, we'll get in touch with them. Or we had an artist who, kind of just dropped out. We didn't hear from her again. And so we had to scramble to replace her at the last minute, which ended up being kind of challenging. Because we don't want to ask artists to make artwork for a story that they've indicated that they're not interested in. We also, you know, didn't want to overload people. We know that there are some people who said that they absolutely will not do more than one story for their artwork. Another shout out to Coco Hook 38 and the Captain Swan community.
Yes.
Who, by the way, not only did they come to our rescue this year when we had to replace artists at the last minute for a couple of stories, but the reason why they participated this year was because they joined last year when we needed artwork for two stories at the last minute. Well, those were the two people who actually stepped in and made artwork, and they were just absolutely stellar. They didn't complain about the time crunch. They were excited about it. And so this year I remember messaging them being like, hey, so we have a problem. Do you want to make some more artwork? And they were awesome about it. Coco Hook in particular, I still laugh because she was like, oh, well, I might not be able to make something for every chapter. It's like, no, I don't want you to. Like, we're not asking you to make so much. You're so sweet.
Oh, she is such a sweetheart.
So I think it's
I think people are more hyped this year for the project for various reasons. And I think that we did a good job, or a better job at least, as a team of keeping everyone sort of reminded that it was happening. Like, we had snippets, we had spotlights, we had our countdown. And it also helps, you know, people have been talking about their Big Bang fix. So there were people, I saw posts being like, from people who were not participating, saying, I'm so excited because so-and-so is going to be posting her story soon. So people, I think, were a lot more aware of it this year, which really helped.
Exciting. I'm very excited.
I think
excited
those artist spotlights made me super excited because, like, there are just some people who I hadn't read before, and I saw some of, I was able to read some of their previous works, or just get to know them a little bit more on the hub. And everyone on the hub is so sweet. And it just made me super hyped for all these stories to come out.
Yeah, I'd like to thank Chinx, actually, for the hub, because that gave me the idea to do the Discord server for the Big Bang. Not a lot of people, I think, used the Discord server. It would get kind of quiet. But at the same time, there were just days where we would get a really hilarious convo going. And it was nice to just have a place for people to talk if they were frustrated.
Or needed help.
Yeah, and actually, yeah. Kendra, you came up with, I think, a couple of channels for the server that ended up being really useful and very popular. We had the artwork help channel, which I think really helped, especially Casey when she was working on some of her own stuff. And then the artwork in progress, I think, was easily our most popular channel. That was a lot of fun. Especially when you or like Pompeia Blaze would post some of the stuff in progress and be like, is this okay? And we're like, this is amazing. So I definitely think if we run it again next year, we'll definitely keep the server going.
The server was really successful, and it was a lot of fun talking to everyone too, and just hyping for people's stories through talking to them on Discord too.
Mm-hmm.
It was definitely helpful for me and made me feel less like I was alone in this whole big crazy process. So when, like, I was stressed, I could just go to the server and vent. And there were people who understood. And then I would see other people venting. And I'm like, I know how you feel. And, like, we were there for each other. And that made it much, much easier to continue on.
I'm glad to hear that. You know, it's especially because I know that Claire and Shay, the three of us, are in the hub chat, which has its lulls but tends to be pretty fast-paced at times. And so it's hard not to compare it. It's like, oh, are people liking this? Are people enjoying this? Like, was this worth it? I mean, didn't cost any money or anything like that. So, of course, I mean, better than nothing. But it's really, I think it's helpful for me to hear that it actually was really welcomed and really helpful for authors and artists.
Yeah, I mean, I was hardly in there, to be honest, as a participant, because I was mainly venting and writing sucks in the hub. Quite violently. But it was nice. Sometimes I would just go in there and just read back a little bit and be like, oh, it's not just me. All these other people are also cracking up. It's fine. You know,
it was
nice to, even though I wasn't so much of an active participant in the CSBB server, it was still a really lovely thing to have, you know? And it did give a real sense of community to it that wasn't so much there last year.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't have found the hub if it wasn't for the CSBV server. So, you know, if you all like
that. There you go.
Take it for that.
For those of you who don't know what we're talking about, Discord is like it's like Slack for gamers, actually. And so it's like you can create chat rooms and Chinx, whose URL is C-starred, she created a server for Captain Swan writers. And it's just kind of devolved into mayhem in a good way, in a very good way.
It's great. Like, I'll wake up and see, like, there's, like, 50, or not even just 50, like, 1,000 messages from,
yeah.
Like,
oh, God, that sounds a bit, I won't bother
catching up.
Yeah, I'm just, like, I even can't catch up. I'm just gonna, like, see, like
what I mentioned
in the past maybe hour, and then just go from there.
And so, because of the hub chat, because it was, like, such a nice community, that's what made me think, you know, what are the goals of the Big Bang? The goals are, of course, for writers to finish a monstrosity of a story, and for artists to create artwork. But, you know, also because it's a great way to meet new people, especially for people who are a little newer to the fandom. And that really was missing last year, because I didn't even know who was participating until I started, like, helping out and helping to run it. And that's when I found out, I remember last year looking at, like, the artist-author pairings and seeing Blessed But Distressed was paired with Kendra, and I was like, this is going to be the greatest thing that ever happened to me. And I know that Rachel hasn't finished her story, but she did send me her outline to beta read, so I already know what happens, and it's awesome. So yeah, I think that it was really, people felt really isolated last year. And so having a place where if you didn't want to be isolated, you didn't have to be, I think was really helpful.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. All right. So another question for Fira is, how many stories and art pieces are there going to be that are coming out?
So I can tell you the number of stories is 19. I don't know how many pieces of art. Because like I said, some...
Officially submitted.
Yeah, well, so, which is... You don't hear me complaining, for sure. The only thing is, like, if we... Well, actually, I have in the calendar that you're doing an extra piece every week. Mm-hmm. I just will be captioning them on the fly. So they might not be very, like... You won't get a, like, give it a like and a share like last year, but we'll see how eloquent I can be.
Don't worry about it.
Let me look at the thing. Oh God. We've got updates basically every day until November, when we have updates 6 days a week. And then, yeah, shout out to Ice Cube for making the posting schedule, especially because I threw a little fit over some of the stuff, and she was very patient with me. And then December, we're going until, I think the last update's going to be posted on December 18th. And
that's the day before my birthday.
Oh, my God, you're right, it is. Oh, I totally... I have no excuse for ever forgetting Justine's birthday, because it's also my husband's birthday. So, yeah.
Me and Hispanto, we're one and the same.
So the 18th is the last day, and it looks, just looking at the calendar, it looks like there will be, like, the first week of December, like, 5 days of updates, the second week, just a few days, and then the last day on the Monday. So we're kind of petering out. It depends on, you know, the number of chapters, how often people are posting. So, like, for example, Claire, you're posting once a week on Saturdays. And so you're going to end up going later than Shay is going. And Shay, you're updating
every Sunday and Wednesday.
Yes. And so even though you have more chapters, you're going to finish earlier. And then the artwork is kind of all over the place, because, you know, some stories only have two or three pieces. Some have more because the artist wanted to make more. Some have more because they have multiple artists working on their story. And so I really don't know. I could count, but it's going to be annoying. So, there's a lot of artwork, and it's all really awesome. So Like, we were, every time we'd get, like, for the final check-in, like, here's my final artwork, hooray, and I would just be like, yes, look how good this is. So.
But yeah, and speaking of artwork and artists, we have Jenna G joining us.
Hello. Sorry for my tardiness.
Oh, no worries. All
right. Welcome.
All right.
Now Jenna's here as well. Absolutely fantastic.
Yay.
Hello. I'm not sure if y'all have already answered this in some way or another, but I'm just going to ask it anyway. But what drew you to, like, the trope that you may have chosen for your fic writing during the Big Bang? I'm a real professional interviewer.
Well, welcome to What's Upon a Captain Swan podcast. We don't really, like, we're not very eloquent. We're just, like, wing it kind of thing.
Really too. This is a very professional production, TM.
Winging it works. It's all good.
Well, to answer your question, I've always liked Lieutenant Duckling because, like, it has, like, romance and intrigue, and it's a period piece. And there's, like, forbidden love, which I touch on with mine. But also, I'm kind of happy I did it because since it's really far removed from canon, no matter my feelings about what was going on at the show at the time, I could kind of separate it because, like, my Emma and Killian were very different than the Emma and Killian that were, you know, doing whatever they were doing all throughout season 6. Mm-hmm. So my motivation wasn't killed whenever, like, I'm like, oh, this plot is stupid, or, you know, I really like this plot, but it's, like, totally unconnected.
The Wish Realm.
The Wish Realm? That honestly inspired
my, that my Lieutenant. I made a slight dig in my most recent chapter at the Wish Realm.
So. Oh, I can't wait.
I'm hyped. Because I watched that episode with the Wish Realm, and I was like, Princess Emma would never be like this. And that's what inspired me to write my Princess Emma fic. Yeah. So I'm just fueled by spite.
I just remember, because, like, Falling Slowly was something that I had been working on well before it was even, like, part of the Big Bang. Like, I had written, I joined the fandom back in 2014 between seasons 3 and 4, mm-hmm. and wrote my first fic, I think, in August of that year, and then wrote my second fic, and then that's when I started reading a lot of fic and getting more into the fandom. And so around, so this is like October 2014. So it's not even like, and I posted Falling Slowly in September 2016, just to give people an idea of how long this was in the works, in different forms. And my inspiration was, again, from kind of being an architect type writer. I'd been reading all these no-curse AUs, and I'm very contrary a lot of the time, and so I'm reading all these, and they were good, but I'm sitting here going, well, this is silly. What would it actually have been like if the curse hadn't been cast? Because I'm reading all these good stories, but, you know, why are Emma and Killian the same age? Because they wouldn't be. Yeah. Like, he's only the same age as she is because of the way that the curse worked. And so what ended up happening was I just kind of sat down and was like, okay, so where would all of these characters be, like, in their lives if the curse hadn't been cast? And that was my jumping off point. And then the plot just sort of came from the idea of how is Emma going to meet Killian, you know, 60-year-old pirate turned, like, sort of merchant ship-y, like, not a pirate anymore. Like, how is she going to meet him? Like, it doesn't, how do I make these two people get together? Because when they're the same age, it's a lot easier. And so the plot just sort of came out of that. And, as many of you know, I had quite a ball when the Wishverse episodes aired, just because, like, I understand that it was a corrupted wish. It's not really necessarily what would have happened without the curse.
But still.
But I was laughing the whole time. I don't think it was a great set of episodes, but I Like, I was laughing the entire time.
Colin and Jen made it brilliant. No, it, without them, like, if it wasn't them two playing it, it would have fallen flat. But because them two were playing it, they made it completely work.
But yeah, it was also a really great way to plug Falling Slowly, because I was like, hey,
did you want old Hook?
Yeah. So, hey, people listening to the podcast, did you hate the Wish first? Oh boy, have I got a story for you. But that was really, it was really funny. And it was also kind of not exactly frustrating, but I spent so much time freaking out over the age difference in my story and were people going to be grossed out. And I did have some people who didn't read it because of the age difference. And I told them, like, that's totally fine. I totally get that. But then to have, like, everyone in the fandom going nuts over Old Hook and a large contingent of people being like, I'd still tap that. And I'm like, but did you read my fic? Like, everyone was kind of, like, wary of the age difference when I wrote it. But then as soon as the Wish Horse episodes aired, a lot of people were super on board. And I was like, okay, I'll take my fic and just look at it sadly. although it's hard to look at it sadly because the artwork that Kat did is phenomenal. And
it's so good.
If you want to see what older Killian would look like without the beer gut and the dirty hair, just check out her artwork.
If you want to see what we all wanted Old Hook to look like, there you go.
Yeah.
If you wanted Silver Fox Killian, she gave it to you.
And I think the age difference definitely worked. I understand why people wouldn't like it. But, yeah, like, it worked in your story. And then the twist, I was like, what? So, like, Falling Slowly is amazing.
Also, like, I like that the age difference wasn't, like, Killian's a man and Emma's a teenager. Because that's...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that does... Like,
Emma's a grown woman and Killian just happens to be older. It's not... Gross.
Yeah, and it's also, for both characters, you only get Emma's point of view, but I think it's pretty, I hope it's clear sort of from what little glimpses that we get into what Killian might be thinking. The age difference bothers them as well, to an extent. Like, it's in the Enchanted Forest, so, you know, arranged marriages with age disparities aren't as much of a big deal. But, like, at one point, I think when Emma first sets eyes on him, her thought, besides, wow, this guy is really attractive, is, and he's old enough to be my dad.
Cool.
But I will say, one of the things that really, because, you know, Shay and Claire and I have talked about hating your story while you're working on it, the enthusiasm of the artists really does help.
It really does.
And seeing...
Oh, it does.
Some of the artwork, you know, I remember just kind of being like, by the time Kat and I were matched up for last year's Big Bang, I was not feeling excited about my story at all. And I remember sending it to her. And this is, so I remember last year freaking out because here I have this story where, like, it takes place in the Enchanted Forest. And Emma dyes her hair brown, and Killian is about 60 years old, and that's not clear from the summary of my story, and it's not relevant to the summary. But I was terrified because we have some really talented people making image sets and videos and GIF sets and manipulations and edits and everything. But I'm sitting here going, not only do I need an artist who is okay with a 30-year age gap in the romance, but they need to be able to make artwork that depicts these characters. And all of, like, Jennifer Morrison's photos where she has brown hair, she's in modern clothing. And, you know, how do you make Killian look 60? Like, Colin is very, very handsome. I want to look at his face, even if Pierce Brosnan was the inspiration for older Killian. I don't want to use, like, Pierce Brosnan.
You want him to be Pierce Brosnan.
Right.
You want him to be Killian.
I want Colin, please.
Sign me up.
Right, exactly. And so I got really lucky in that not only did I get an artist who was okay with the age difference, but also that she did traditional illustrations so she could depict the characters the way that they look in the story. And so because I lucked out, but I have been so stressed over this, that's why this year we asked our authors for the story selection info for artists. We're like, anything you think an artist needs to know if they're going to take on your story, because if I'd gotten matched with someone who just could put together image sets, I would have been shit out of luck. Like, and so would they. Like, that's not fun. That's frustrating. And so that was one of the things that we asked people to do. Like, don't worry about spoiling the story for the artists. They need this information to sort of pick which stories they feel comfortable working on. So that ended up being, I think, really important to me as an administrator. Like, I need to make this work as best I can to make the matches work as best that we can. And I know, Jenna, I know that you had to move around a bit at the last minute, which was not like that was, it was more behind the scenes from us. But I still hope that you did end up with a story that worked for you.
No, it was great. It was a lot of fun to work with her too.
Can we know which story this is, or is that spoilers?
No, that's, I just don't remember at any point anymore. There's so much stuff. I have to go into, we have like such an extensive document. It's really like, I'm opening it now. How many tabs, like how many sheets are in this? Like, I have an entire browser window where it has like 6 or 7 tabs just for the Big Bang. Yeah, we want 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah, this has 10 sheets in this particular spreadsheet, which is just like, what happened to me? Oh yeah, Jenna, you're working on True Love's Eye Roll.
Oh yeah, yeah, it's like traveling through Europe, so it's really cool.
Ooh, I'm excited for that. I love travel.
Oh yeah, same. That was like, once I saw that that was what I was doing, I was like, okay, I'm definitely down for this one too.
Mm-hmm. You get to draw something that's not the Bit Grand Canyon.
Yes, it was great. So great.
And then Jenna, we asked Kendra this earlier, but I want to get your input on this too. But how was that collaborating with a writer and making a piece specifically for a fic?
It was fun because I actually am an illustrator, so it's something I want to do.
Ooh.
So just, well, trying to actually find jobs in that area. So just like being able to read a fun fic and find a scene that I loved and then got to illustrate it was great. And it was like, she was so nice to work with too, and like my stuff. And I got to work with another artist too. So, and I know she was working on some other pictures for other parts of the story. So it'll be very cool. And that one is
When the Tide Turns.
Yes,
is the story, and the other artist on that is the Black Siren.
Yeah, she has some
that is
stuff
a
too.
Cool ass name.
Yeah.
And Jenna, you've also done artwork for other stories in the fandom. And
yeah,
like off the top of my head, I know that you did one for Steffi's fic.
All right,
Light of All Lights, which was awesome.
That was brilliant. Oh my god, I finished reading that today.
She was
telling us about
that. Yeah.
Yeah, that's
I'm just like, thing. I've spent all day reading that. Oh my goodness, like.
Well, yeah, I had no idea you were going to be making a piece of art for that. So, like, I had finished reading it and I was like, this is fantastic. And then I was scrolling through my dash and was like, oh my god. Oh my god, what is this? What is this? This is amazing. And then you also did one for Kristen's fic.
Oh my god.
Was it the one?
Yes. Yeah, that was
a lot of fun.
I
loved that one.
I liked working on that one a lot, too.
I loved how spooky that one was.
Yeah, that was like nice.
I'm going to read that again this year.
Yeah. Kristen has a great ability to like completely misread everybody, even when you think you are like on your toes. Because like she has that farmer's market hot one with the twist. And I was reading it being, because everyone, I saw everyone's reactions to it, like cursing her out and stuff like that. And was like, ooh, I can't wait to read this. And so I was reading it knowing that there was going to be something that upset a lot of people. So it's towards the end. So I'm like, what could it possibly be? And then I got to the end, I was like, ah, I should have known, but I didn't. And so the ghost story one, that Jenna made artwork for, and that you, I remember you actually, like, she posted it with the artwork, from the start. That was just fantastic. 'Cause she really, like, it's really romantic and fun to read. And then, like, she has you kind of like Emma wondering what exactly is going on and kind of second guessing herself. And so I'm sitting here going like, is it a ghost? I don't know. What is happening? But I do like, I love that. 'Cause I know this is your first year doing the Big Bang.
Yeah.
But I really, I remember like when you signed up being really excited, 'cause I know that you have done artwork for other fics and you have such a great ability of capturing those moments. So I was very excited.
Thank you.
Yeah. I just remember when the signups were going, both for authors and artists, like getting inordinately excited when people would sign up. So like, if you're thinking that you would maybe want to participate, because again, we're only going to run it if people are really interested. Like if you're thinking of participating, when we have the signups going, we get super excited when people sign up. And when people are new, we go and we check out their stuff and then we get excited. Like, oh, who's this person who signed up? I don't know. Oh, she's got some fic here. Let's go read it. Oh my God, this is awesome. And we also, for both authors and artists, because at no point someone was mentioning earlier, you know, this, it's like turning in a thesis or a final paper, but you don't get graded. And while we do require beta readers for the fics for a lot of reasons, there's no, like, it's too hard to sort of judge quality anyway, because what some people think is great, other people don't. And so there's really no, like, you must be this talented to participate. We really care more about community and giving people something to work on than we do about, like, your personal abilities. And
there's
so
no, like,
there's no
talent,
there's no snobbery in it.
Right. And but, like,
and go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, we don't really, you know, because some people are like, oh, I don't know if I'm good enough to join. And really, I would say that the number one question to ask yourself about joining this project is not if you're a good enough artist or a good enough author. It's how good are you with deadlines? Like, that's really, that's the number one thing. And I was actually talking with Sarah about this. And she told me, you know, I don't think I'm going to participate again. And it's specifically because she's like, I can't handle the deadlines. And so I think that if we do go forward with a third Big Bang, that's going to be like the number one thing that we remind people of. If you get panicked and anxious about deadlines, this is not the project for you. If you are like me and you are good at spitting something out at the last minute, and you perfected that in college or anything like that.
If it wasn't for university, I would be like lost about it, but I'm quite good at that myself. Yeah.
So I think that if you're good at deadlines, or you're good enough at deadlines that they don't stress you out to the point of panic attacks or anxiety attacks, and like, that might sound dramatic, but
no,
I mean, we just finished, you know, 5 author check-ins, and you know, with people have other stuff going on, and so if you think that you're gonna really panic over the deadlines, then it's really probably not the best for you. But at the same time, you know, we have a late dropout deadline for authors and for artists, honestly, because we just want people to not be afraid to give it a shot well. And again, that's why we are going to need a lot of fandom interest to do it again next year, because we started off, I think, with somewhere closer to like 37 or 8 artists, and again, almost 50 authors. And so with the number of people who do drop out for various reasons, like we said, we really encourage people to just give it a shot, but that means that we do need a lot of people to sign up for it to be worth it.
So,
now that stories are posting and people are a lot happier, we've been getting a lot of feedback that's been very positive. And so I think the mod team is feeling a lot better about things, because both authors and artists are saying, oh, now I'm having fun because I'm getting feedback. And then like non-participants in the fandom have been saying nice things too. So that's been really motivating for us to want to do it again, but it is a pretty extensive project. We've been like, we've been going since January. Cause we had to figure out how signups were going to work and how rules were going to work. We did that all in January. Signups went through February for authors, and I think through April for artists. And, you know, believe it or not, it is actually September now. And we're going to be reblogging Fix into December. So that's an entire year of work. So yeah, it's a lot.
Pretty hard for everyone.
Thanks.
And Kendra, you were saying something. What were you going to say?
Oh, just on the note of people not thinking they're good enough, you're going to write 50,000 words and do 3 pictures. You're going to be better at the end. So even if you're sort of going in going, oh, I don't know if I can do this, there is a really good support group from talking with the other authors or the other artists or your beta or whatever, and they're going to help you get better. So even if you're coming in not sure of yourself, just do it for the sake of getting better, because having those deadlines for me, I know it sort of gets me thinking more about actually finishing things as opposed to maybe poking at an idea. So it's worth it to do it even just for that.
Yeah, that's true. Level,
I learned a whole lot about like writing and my own writing style and what I can and cannot feel like I can do. So I definitely recommend like someone to at least try it starting out. And I know for me, I was really daunted by the fact of writing 50,000 words, because I'd never done that before in a fic. Roses in December was only 25,000. So this would be double of what I did. And like at times it seemed like a lot. I was 7,000 words behind at one check-in. But
you
by the end
the
of it,
flu, right? Like
I had the flu.
Yeah.
Brought at one point. So life things pop up, but you know, I still managed to get it done and have over 60,000 words by the end. So I'd highly recommend people trying it just for themselves and for the personal growth and challenge of it all.
Yeah. Big reason I did fan art was to get better at just like another way outside of school to work on my art.
Yeah. And I remember, so we have a participant this year who did the Little Bang last year, Swan's Lieutenant, and whose Little Bang fic actually turned into a longer multi-chapter that she's still working on. And this year she was posting on Tumblr during revisions, because we had, it was originally 4 weeks and then we switched it to 3 weeks to give people another week to finish their drafts. We had 3 weeks of revisions where we had people just editing their final draft. And she had a post that really made me feel like this had been worth it, where she said that she ended up learning a lot about her own writing and figuring out, like, she cut an entire subplot from her story. And she's like, it was a hard decision, but I like the story so much better. And now I'm going back to work on this other fic. And now I have all these ideas for it. It's going to be shorter now, but I think it'll be much better, tighter plot, that kind of thing. And that really resonated with me because, and this is something that I think, again, if we do this next year, we're going to try to make a lot clearer, both during beta reading signups and during author signups, which is that we want people to revise their work in the sense that, you know, you're not just looking for typos in your final draft or like, oh, fix this grammatical error, like, oh, like, you know, this isn't clear, fix it. But also, like, does this plot point work, or, you know, and I know Claire, I won't spoil anything, but I know at the end of your story, I remembered being like, this doesn't, I think I said to you, like, if you wanted to do this, it would work. This, I think, might work better because,
yes.
And I did like what you said. We were like, well, the show is ridiculous enough. And, like, just shout outs to all fic writers for putting way more thought into the stories they're writing than Adam and Eddie put into anything.
It was literally, I was
way,
like, you're quite right.
Sorry,
this
I'm
is
going to
say this way. Is a You know, I was like, this is a canon cop-out, but nonetheless, it's a cop-out. You're right, let's fix it. You
know? Well, so, trying to figure out, like, Adam and Eddie's, like, rules for how things work in the once-verse. I've stayed up at night, been like, how does magic work in this verse? There seems
magic.
To be no rules.
Yeah, I don't know how magic works, and I never will.
At least
it's magic.
At least in Harry Potter, there seems to be like some cut and dry rules that they all have to follow somehow. Like, only wizards can do magic, but like on Once Upon a Time, like Regina, Zelina, Emma, Rumpel, they can all do magic, but like so can Belle and Snow. Apparently, those one times.
So if you're worried about joining. If you're worried about joining the Big Bang because you're a newer writer and, like, really, if you're new to fic writing and you're feeling kind of insecure, trust me, the writers of Once have tons of plot holes and inconsistencies, and you're fine. You really are.
They get paid so much money to write not that well.
Yeah, and so, like, beta reading can be really tricky because it's really hard to get constructive criticism on your stories. And there's a lot of sort of like boo constructive criticism when people are reviewing already posted stories. And of course I feel like, well, if I've already posted it, it's done. Like the chapter is finished. I can't change it. Your criticism is not helpful. Therefore it's not constructive. But when you're beta reading a fic that you haven't posted, and you can make those changes and fix plot holes, it can still be very difficult, I think, to get constructive criticism, especially because, you know, you're getting these comments in Google Docs or on Word or whatever word processor you're using, or, you know, Google Hangouts, or like in the Discord server, you're getting messages from people. And so you can't really read tone as easily. And I know that when people beta read my stuff, I have to remind myself that they're not being mean. It's just that it's a comment. It doesn't have a tone.
Mm-hmm.
And so as Claire can attest to, sometimes when I'm beta reading, I will just like comment on stuff I like in ridiculous, unhelpful ways just to lighten the mood.
Oh, yeah.
And so I think that one thing that we are interested in kind of changing for next year is the expectations of beta reading and revisions, because I think that a lot of people just were looking over for like typos and stuff like that. And we really do want to encourage people, you have the time to go back and, you know, fix plot holes and find like inconsistent characterization, like, well, why is she mad about this when she wasn't mad about that? Or, you know, as you're writing, and for people who are not architects like me, people who are more gardeners, you might be like halfway through the fic when you go, oh, you know, it would be a better idea if I did it this way. And hey, I can go back and change the beginning to suit that plot point better.
Mm-hmm. What kind of things do you get back? Like, what kind of feedback do you get back, and how do you work on that?
What, in terms of beta reading?
Yes.
So I was very lucky. I had two beta readers. I had Katie Dubb and, of course, the lovely Fira. No pressure here. No pressure. It's fine. She's listening. No, I mean, for me, a lot of it was that Luffy came out with was sort of mainly plot related. At one point she said, I thought they were looking for this. And I was like, oh yeah, they were, but I kind of cut that and then forgot that I cut it.
But then you added it back in. Well, like,
back
I remember
to the first chapter and be like, they're not looking for that anymore. You know?
It's funny, so done. So I was looking through your revisions, just to like, cause you added new stuff. And so I was just doing like the quick, like spelling, grammar, typos check. And I remember going back to that point and seeing that you had changed it, but like you did it so subtly that I was like, oh, did she have it? I guess I shouldn't have said that because she clearly did. So you did it so subtly. I
just trick my beta readers into thinking
that they've misread it. But like, yeah, and I think that that's the sort of thing. And when you write a story and you're sick of it and all that, like you cannot beta read your own story.
No, you can't. It's not a fic of that length anyway. For me, I found
you still, because the thing is you stare at it for so long and you know if it's like you can't stare at it any longer.
No.
Someone
you can't
to
see the mistakes.
It's just like
and you know things in your head that readers aren't gonna know.
Yeah.
And so like there are lots of times when like I'm reading something that I wrote a long time ago, and I'll be like, what? Like, oh, like I knew, like I'm thinking of it this way, but it wasn't clear to readers. And so we did have a few authors who, understandably and very politely, so this isn't like to drag anybody. We did have a few authors who questioned whether or not beta readers were required for the project. So, they asked us to make exceptions and we said no. Because that's really it. Like, you know your story so well, not only what you've written, but also what's going on in your head, that you really do need another set of eyes, at least.
You do.
And so
you do.
I think one of the things next year that we're going to try to get, we had a lot of people sign up for beta reading, and we didn't actually match everybody. Because a lot of beta readers said, like, oh, I don't want to read a fic with this. And so we would be like, well, that's all we have. Or,
oh, shit,
you know,
yeah.
Or like, we asked, like, for authors. And actually, so Claire, I know that Katie already had agreed to be your beta reader. But Shay, I don't remember if you already had a beta reader or not.
I didn't.
We matched. Okay, so we did match you. Okay, so what we did was we had in the author signups, like, here's some information we need from you. Like, what country do you live in? And if you live in the United States or Canada, what state or province? We asked stuff like, what kind of beta reading are you looking for? Are you looking for people to check spelling and grammar? Are you looking for people to look for plot holes? Someone to bounce ideas off of?
That's better, isn't it? Yeah.
Well, we asked
all
those questions. And then for beta readers, we asked them to provide, like, what are you willing to do? And we also did ask, just to make the matches a little bit better, like, how old are you? Because we don't want to have like a 35-year-old author with a 16-year-old beta reader. Like, even if there is no objectionable content, like, you know, we
it's just
still
life experiences.
Right.
Life experience.
Exactly. And so because of that, we had a lot of people who would have been excellent beta readers who signed up who we just couldn't match with anybody very easily. And I think that what we would probably want to do next time around is make the beta reading expectations for both authors and beta readers a lot more clear. Like, we really, you know, your beta reader should be cheering you on and helping motivate you. Absolutely. Because as we've said, like, that is the number one problem as an author. But we'd like them to do more than just tell you that your fic is great. We want them to be constructively critical of it. Like, this is good, but this is the pacing is off, or this is okay. I don't really feel this plot point very much, or anything like that. So I think that that's something that we would do differently. I don't know how we will do it. If we can do it differently, it's challenging.
Me, it's always asking my beta questions, like things that I were worried about. Is this coming through, or is this, or did you pick up on this character trait for someone, which seemed obvious to me, but not towards either my beta and authors, which required me just to end up like writing a random scene in one of the chapters just to make it explicit here. Because I felt like, because it ended up being relevant to the plot to me, but no one else was picking up on that.
Yeah, definitely.
We had that in mind, didn't we? Where you were like, so what does Killian actually think about any of this? And I was like, oh, is that not blatantly obvious? That's in my head. I should probably write that down with words. And that's not something you can do yourself. You need a second pair of eyes to go, you haven't actually written that. That's what you need. And I think if you're going to spend 7 months working on what is basically a novel, and you want it to be as good as it can be, you need that extra edit help, as it were, you know?
Yeah.
Coming from the artist side, I think some of us kind of wound up being pseudo-betas, where we kind of got the second wave of edits, and then we would read through and maybe have our own comments. But it was also really good just to hear from the authors exactly what kind of feedback they were looking for, because there was a point with Sarah where it was like, she's like, no, stop saying things. Yep. I just need to write and finish this. And then after I've gone through it, I'll be ready to hear feedback again. And that was also important for the betas to hear, to just go, okay, now time to back off, let you get through your thing. Then we can go back to editing later.
Yeah, no, definitely. Yeah, she gave me the same feedback. Yeah. She's like, I'm going to turn off comments because I don't want them right now. I'm like, that's fair.
Yeah.
You just have to say so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Coming into our last question, do you think that Captain Swan will inspire you in your works in the years to come, even if you're not maybe writing or doing art for that specific ship?
For me personally, I probably, because I think they are definitely my OTP of OTPs, and I'll probably still be doing art for them for a long time, even after the fact. But yeah, like they're
that makes
too
me
good
happy.
Not to. Mm-hmm. Good.
No, I think I learned a lot from writing for this ship because I had basically given up on all fandoms while I was in grad school and doing all of that crazy insanity stuff. So like with this ship especially, it touched something in me to bring it back. And I know it'll always stick with me like my other previous ships have, and like have informed me in my own writing skills and like how I read situations and interpret them.
For me, it's a hobby. It's a strange hobby, one that seems to take up a long time and most of my sanity, and one that I shout about how much I hate it quite regularly. But I don't see myself stopping anytime soon, to be honest. So, sorry, stuck with me.
About Kendra or Fira?
Well, I guess Once Upon a Time, just in general, kind of just made me excited about fairy tales again. So that's definitely going to carry on. And since, like, trying to draw Killian and Emma and stuff, I've started looking up, like, more dress designs. And anyone who follows my blog will probably see so many just tall ships that I reblog, and trying to figure out, like, how do I draw rigging? How do I draw the shape of this boat? So, even just through the things that I've looked up and researched just to draw them. Aww. Yeah, no, they're going to continue to have a big influence on my art.
Yeah, so this isn't my first fandom, but I was kind of out of any fandoms for a very long time before I watched Once Upon a Time. And the level at which Captain Swan really sucked me in is almost scary. So I definitely don't see my interest in Captain Swan ending anytime soon. As many people know, I have zero interest in season 7. Like, I'm almost aggressively uninterested in it. I'm still blacklisting as much as I was when I was spoiler free, and I'm not spoiler free. I just really don't care. And which is not to say that nobody should care. I want to make that clear. It's just like, you know, make your dash your happy place. But, I have a lot of works in progress, and my philosophy when I'm writing is if I have like a plot bunny, just start writing it. And so I know in the Discord server, the Big Bang one, we talked about this a little bit. I will probably keep writing Captain Swan fan fiction until I run out of works in progress. Right now I've got like 6 or 7. Although some of those are for Team Trash Can, but most of them are Captain Swan. I know. Most of them are Captain Swan. And it's really funny to me because right now I'm working on an AU that's inspired by my first fandom and a ship in particular from that fandom that I think kind of primed me to ship Captain Swan in the first place. This idea of this reluctant sort of almost sullen hero that doesn't talk very much and kind of gets dragged into things, when all they care about is, you know, their own family, and then they end up having to care about the rest of the world and saving it. And then the wisecracking, irreverent, dark, villainous sidekick who drives the hero a little bit nuts, and they end up working together.
It's such a true love. It's a true love story.
And falling in love. Well, see, like,
Vera, is this Legend of Zelda?
but which one is it? Anyway, yeah. I know Kendra,
which character is this?
Well, obviously the wisecracking villain is Navi.
Kendra knows a little bit more about this.
Swan? Yes, it's Navi. Listen.
But yeah, basically, like, the AU is a marriage of my two fandoms. So I'm, and it's going to take forever. Like I said, I'm like 50,000 words in. Season 7 with Jennifer Morrison leaving the show, I think a lot of people kind of understandably panicked a little bit. Like, what does this mean for fandom? Because I know that for a lot of people, fandom is like an escape and where you kind of go when you need to not think about, you know, your job or your family or politics and current events and all that kind of stuff. And so understandably, people kind of freaked out. And since my first fandom was a video game fandom where, you know, the game comes out and then it's over. And I mean, I was in that fandom for pretty solidly, I would say, for about a decade. So all these people are worried. And I'm like, guys, I still see X-Files gift sets. You're fine. Like,
like Harry Potter is a fandom like 5 times.
Buffy was my first fandom.
Oh, yeah. There's still tons of Buffy stuff.
I still like Buffy and Angel stuff all the time. So.
Yeah, if you want to see something, go find some blogs that reblog that stuff, and you'll suddenly be swarmed with 10 other blogs that reblog that stuff.
Yeah.
Fandom
is me. Captain Swan was one of my first canon ships. So I've always been used to dealing without having, like, the canon backing me up. So I'm like, okay, back to normal, I guess, for me.
It's just, you can't control what you ship. And it just, whatever grabs you. And I just still think it's hilarious that I managed to escape fandom after 10 years of being in it. And like having a normal life and stuff. And then just Captain Swan sunk its claws into me and dragged me all the way back. And it's just really funny to me because, I mean, I've watched shows before and since that have not had this effect on me. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, it's been really great to have such a vibrant, diverse community of people from all over the world who have the same problem that I do.
And every time, like, I start, like, a new book or a new TV show, I'm like, all right, which girl's Emma and which girl's Killian, and am I going to die over this ship? Probably.
Yeah.
There is nothing I've yet found that I can't turn into a CS pick prompt. Although I'm not as good as Svenja. Svenja is much better at it than me, but it is.
Yeah.
Svenja's the reason why we have the prompt channel in the Discord server, because she kept coming up with these weird life situations that she has experienced. And we would just be like, fic prompt. Fic prompt. It's a fic prompt. And so we finally had to make the fic prompt channel.
Several of them have been written as well.
Woohoo! I just want to thank all you ladies for taking the time to come on. I want to thank you for everything that you do. As someone who is just a spectator, I don't write fic or do art. I just enjoy it. And this is a time when I've been feeling really lost in the fandom, seeing it so divided and not knowing where to go from here as far as season 7. To see you put all this time and effort and all this beautiful work out, it is so inspiring and so helpful. So thank you for everything that you do.
Well, thanks for reading and enjoying all the artwork.
Let's just let everyone know. Just let everyone know where all the people online can find you.
Okay.
I'm Just Another Wannabe Classic on Tumblr, Just Another Classic on AO3, and I'm writing Ivy Wed, which is a Lieutenant Duckling post-elopement fic. Check it out!
It's beautiful. It's so good.
That was amazing, Shay. I am Mastatins on Tumblr, to Mash Stains, because that's what Mandy thought I was called. And I'm Eirabach on AO3, which I will spell for you. It is E-I-R-A-B-A-C-H, because it's Welsh. And I am writing Heathens, which is a no-curse Enchanted Forest AU sequel where some stuff happens, and you should read it, because it's really good.
Angst.
I'm Fairy Tales and Time Travel, and I'm working on True Love's Eye Rules, When the Tide Turns, and you can find me, I use that URL on Tumblr and fanfic and AO3.
I'm Clockadile on Tumblr, that's with C-L-O-C-K-A, not O. And yeah, my art's on Tumblr. I'm working on Life in a Hole 27's fic, Wait for the Moonrise.
And so I'm Fira Loves Loki on Tumblr and AO3, and I'm the administrator for the Big Bang. And yeah, and also just to plug the Big Bang Tumblr. So Captain Swan Big Bang is the name of the Tumblr. And if you want to check out these folks' artwork and stories, if you come over to our Tumblr, we have extensive tagging. So if you like enter in anybody's URL, basically, that's a tag for either their work that's being posted or for their spotlight. And you can also check out the artist spotlights and the author spotlights. There's a sidebar link for all of those. And that's a way to not only get some information about everyone's process or what they are excited to write or excited to draw, what they would like to try their hand at, that kind of stuff. But also we include links to their artwork and their stories so that you can get to know them through their work and give their stuff a read or a once over and reblog it and share it. So if you're interested, just come over to our Tumblr and check that out.
And on that note, Sarah, where can we find our podcast on?
You can find us everywhere, all the social media, OUACS Podcast, Twitter, Tumblr, Facebook, Instagram, WordPress, all the good stuff. So thank you to all of our ladies for joining us today. It was a lot of fun. And we will see you guys next time.
Bye!
Bye!